or take away. So we got two options here. What's the context? That will give the meaning. It's a vineyard. If there are new branches on the vine and they've just started to grow, there won't be any fruit. They'll be immature. And the vine dresser wouldn't cut them off. He would lift them up and he would secure them so that they could be in the sun and eventually get to the point where they too can be fruitful. What about branches that had fallen down and were underneath on the ground? The vine dresser would pick them up, secure them in the sun so that they too would be fruitful later on. Personally, I've found that God hasn't abandoned me in my times when I'm not fruitful. He's lifted me up. He has encouraged me through his word. He's encouraged me many times through other people, other Christians in the body. What about those who do bear fruit? What's the Father's role for them? Each branch that bears fruit, he prunes. What's the purpose of branches on the vine? To bear much fruit. In the natural world, pruning is the only way to bear much fruit. And that's the same when we abide in Jesus. There is a season of pruning in the natural. I've got roses at home, and they're supposed to be trimmed two times each year. They are, according to my son. They've only been trimmed once so far. And it's the same in God's kingdom. The Greek word for prune means to cleanse from filth, to clean by purging, to cleanse from sin. And this is how the word is used in the New Testament. The Lord cuts back what seems to be fruitful. He does that so that we can be more fruitful in his service. You might be thinking to yourself, I thought we were cleansed of our sin by the blood of Jesus when we become Christians. And that's true. But there is a cleansing that God does after our conversion. And I see it's part of the process of sanctification. This cleansing needs our will and our effort to work with God, because it's all about a deeper intimacy with him, a greater usefulness in his service. We still have our flesh, and the flesh remembers what the old nature taught it. It's a bit like a computer software. When I want to delete a program that I don't want anymore, I delete it, but there's always data left over on the hard drive. And it's very hard to get all that data out, from what I've been told. And on this side of eternity, we have the same problem. But if we want real intimacy with God, he tells us to seek his face. I need that deep, ongoing cleansing that David asked God for when he said, search me and try me and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me on the everlasting path. I have learnt through some good Christian friends to ask the Lord before I read his word and before I pray and ask him if there's anything between him and me that I need to deal with, and to ask him to show me, because I really want there to be nothing that would stop him and I being close. Paul puts it this way in Romans 8. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. There's another reason for an ongoing cleansing for us. In Romans 8:29, it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And that's the Father's intention for us, that we would be like Jesus now, while we're here on this earth, and later on in eternity. What an an incredible privilege we have. Jesus finishes putting the foundation in place with these words: "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So the foundation is abiding in Jesus with the Father's help will result in fruitfulness. What's the connection or the relationship then with the vine and the branches? Jesus says in verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. I am the vine. If you choose to abide and remain in me, you will bear much fruit." The heart of abiding is trust. Remaining in Jesus is a decision that we make every day. It's a decision to trust the Lord and his word. At the same time, it's simple, trust God, but it's also hard as well. You've heard these scriptures probably many times, but they capture the heart of what it means to abide. And I just want to read a couple to you. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths." Romans 8, 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." There's an account in the Old Testament in 2 Kings 6 where the king of Syria, every time he went to attack Israel, Elisha would warn the king. And he started to accuse his own men. "Who's the spies in my kingdom that are telling the king of Israel all the time what I'm about to do?" And they said, "It's not us, it's Elisha." And he got really frustrated and angry. And he sent an army out to get him and to bring him back. It says in the word, "Then he sent horses and chariots there, and they went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out the next morning, an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh no, Lord,' he said, 'what shall we do?' And Elisha said, 'Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed, 'Lord, will you open his eyes so that he can see?' And the Lord did that. And when he opened his eyes, he saw the hills right around where Elisha lived. God had an army of horses and chariots of fire all around. And they were all on God's side. And we need that kind of conviction and trust in God that he is bigger than any situation that comes along in our lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." What about those who choose not to remain in Jesus? Jesus said, "If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned." Choosing not to abide or remain in Jesus stops the life of Jesus in us, and we start to wither. The result, if there is no repentance, is that the life of Jesus in us will dry up, and the end result would be separation from God forever. It's the choices that we make that stops the life of Jesus flowing through us. The life of Jesus in us is the Holy Spirit, and If we're not obeying the Lord, we quench his spirit in us. The question is, what causes us to separate ourselves from Jesus? What causes us to backslide or to let go of him? Life can seem really hard. The trials we go through, just too big. And we don't have the strength to keep going. And that seems to be something that we find sometimes. Paul, writing to the believers in Corinth, said, "No temptation or trial or testing has overtaken you except what is common to mankind." So it's something that we all experience. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. But when you are tempted or tested, he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. When I think back of the times that I haven't endured, it was because of a few reasons. The first reason is that I didn't want to. I would rather be angry. I'd rather be lustful. I'd rather be not forgiving people. That was my heart. Other times, I haven't remembered these scriptures, that God is faithful, that he won't let me to be tested beyond what I'm able to endure, that he will provide a way of escape so that I can endure it. And I missed out on God's grace because of that, because I'd forgotten those to take hold of those promises. I'd missed out on God's grace. Other times, the enemy whispers half-truths. You've been faithful. You've done your best. But God doesn't seem to hear the cry of your heart. Believing the whispers of the enemy is no good. What it'll do is it'll stop us from trusting God. And in the end, it holds us back and brings us into a place of unbelief. But there is always hope in the Lord. Romans 11 says, Paul's talking about Israel there, and he says that they are an olive tree and the branches were broken off because of unbelief. And it's not the same situation, but in verse 23, it says, "And if they do not persist in their unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." That's the heart of God. If we're Christians and we repent of our unbelief and our rebellion, if we confess that to God, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness through the blood of Jesus. That's the heart of God, that we be in union with him. So, if you abide in me, if you choose to remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. My prayer in those kind of situations now is, Lord, please show me the way of escape so that I can endure this trial. And Jesus finishes this by saying, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." The fruit. The greatest fruit of abiding is love. Verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." Remember, the other scripture that's really important is that we love because he first loved us. Mark 12 says that Jesus said the greatest commandment is that we are to love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Loving the Lord and loving others can only be done if we remain in Jesus. Paul wrote to the church, one of the churches, it was the Corinthian church, and he told them how important love is for each of them and for each other. And it's very practical. He says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never ends. There's one more fruit that's really important, and it's because we stay in close union to him. He says in verse 16, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. The great truth here is that in abiding in Jesus, we are given the right and privilege in our prayers to ask the Father in Jesus' name. That's an incredible privilege, isn't it? He gives us the right and privilege to ask in his name. I don't have all the answers about how and why God does answer some prayers and he doesn't answer others. When Shelley was sick, I asked God to heal her, but he had a different path for her and for us as a family. But what I'm learning is there are keys in prayer. And the first one is obedience. And remember, right through this passage, Jesus was saying, if you keep my commandments, my command is this. This is my command. And so obedience is an integral part of abiding. And secondly, another key is to find out what God wants, his will for the people that we're praying for and the situation that we're praying for. Say, Lord, what is your will for this person? What is your will for this situation? And we're joining with his prayer and his heart and not having our own agenda in our prayers. And our prayers will be answered because they're his prayers. So, what then is abiding in Jesus? There's, as I said before, there's so much more you could say about this passage. Abiding in Jesus with the Father's help leads to fruitfulness. Abiding is choosing to hold on, to hold fast to Jesus and not let him go. And the fruit of abiding is firstly to love God with all our hearts and to love others as we love ourselves. And that doesn't stay with just our family, but our church family and our neighbours and other people as well. And also, we have been given the privilege and right to pray in Jesus' name. And this is through obedience and seeking his will. Can I leave you with one verse and finish? It's Galatians, actually it's two verses. Galatians 6, it says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Thank you.